What are you guys doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Cross America. What's this all about?
About a month ago started and goes to different places and carries the cross and takes pictures.
Oh, you're not doing it. He's doing it.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Oh,
yeah,
he's doing it. I'll talk
to him. I just met him a couple of days. His name's Jake. He'll be out.
His name's what?
Jake.
Jake.
I'm Daniel, by the way.
Daniel?
Yeah, that's it.
That's the guy I'm waiting for. What's this all about? My name's Jim.
I'm Jake.
Jake? I'm a traveling street preacher. Here's my gospel card with my website.
That's awesome.
I just pulled up to get gas and all the pumps were full and I thought, oh wait. My wife goes, check that out. So what do you do?
Not a traveling preacher.
Huh?
Not a traveling preacher, but I take pictures of his sinless sacrifice in front of his great creations all over the country.
Okay.
So I take it off the truck, hike in to beautiful waterfall.
Yeah.
Take a picture of it and then put a verse in front of it.
And then what do you do with it?
You can check it out on Facebook or Instagram.
So you're doing this just to do this, or you do this as you're out working? Do you work and around in this area?
No,
he said you're from Georgia. What part of Georgia?
Greenville, Georgia.
Greenville. I just came through there. I cut through. We pretty much travel full-time all over the country. We come out to the tourist spots here. We're here at Cody to go street preach. But we were just down in Georgia over the winter, went into Florida, South Carolina.
Yeah. Below Atlanta, a little town called Greenville.
Yeah, okay, Greenville. I think I've heard of it, but I don't know if I've
ever heard of
it. Oh, yeah.
That's where I shop, is LaGrange.
Oh.
My wife does her grocery shopping.
Do you belong to a body in that area?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I just moved there about a year ago.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. All right.
And we built a house out on some property.
Yeah. What do you do? How do you support yourself?
Oh, I've been doing this for about a month now. I don't make any money. I just use my own money.
Good, good. That's good.
I don't ask.
Too many people selling the things of God today. Yeah.
Sad.
So your family's
laid it on my heart.
Your family's back in Georgia?
Yeah, I've been reading the gospel for the past year, and I've been working in the movie industry for about 10 years, and I've just nonstop working, and there's more to life to it, as you know.
Yeah.
And so I just said, hey, I'm on double life. I'm on. Take this cross and travel and do as much good as I can, long as I can, and take pictures of his symbol of sacrifice in front of the great creation. I know it's just a symbol. He's not there. The stone being moved away was way more.
Yeah, and you know, also, you know, let me give you a brief history. Have you ever studied about the cross?
Yeah.
Do you know?
It's not right size, is it?
No. I don't care about. I'm not talking about the size. But do you know where the cross actually got the cross, the shape of the cross? Do you know how it actually got venerated or made important and lifted up? If you study it, Constantine.
Oh, really?
In the early 300s, was a pagan. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, first of all, let me go back. Every time you see in the New Testament, I don't belong to any group. I'm a Bible preacher of righteousness. I believe what the scriptures say. Okay.
We've lost the individuality.
All the denominations of this all made a man. So when whenever Paul said the word cross, okay, we see the word cross, people always think of the symbol and the shape. But I encourage you to go deeper and study in the Word of God. You look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. The Old Testament was Hebrew. The New Testament is Greek. If you look up that word, cross in the Bible, it actually in Greek is storos. And you know what it actually means?
What?
A stake.
A stake.
And the Bible actually says.
Drove stakes.
Well, no. The Bible actually says anyone who hangs on a tree is a curse. So Jesus was a curse for us.
Yeah.
So he's like hanging on a tree or a stake. So let me talk you through this here. So here's the storos.
Uh-huh.
Here's the upright. So the Romans would put an upright pole.
Yeah.
And that was the shape. There's no cross shape. What did they do? Jesus never carried a cross.
Yeah.
He carried
a beam on the
beam
that they hung him on that.
When they lifted him up, what happened?
Yeah.
It made the shape of a cross.
So
this is not really, because once he's down, okay, so
what
I'm saying is, what I'm introducing you to, Jake, right?
Yeah.
What I'm introducing you to is there's a lot of pagan symbols that have been introduced through, which was ultimately Roman Catholicism. And then you see the Pope. Carries the cross, they venerate the cross. When Paul preaches the cross, what he's preaching is Christ's death, burial and resurrection, and it really has nothing to do with the shape or symbol. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then where I would take you from there is then look at like the holidays that most of American evangelicals, denominational Christians celebrate: Christmas and Easter. Mm-hmm. Have you studied those? The Father did not ordain these. These are pagan holidays. Now, you can remember Jesus was born, and you can remember Jesus died and rose again. In fact, you should remember his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul never mentions us remembering his birth. Paul says, preach him crucified. So, these pagan holidays we've adapted, and what's happened is the modern church has merged with the world. And they use sports, they use politics, they use entertainment to try and further the gospel. That's adding the holy to the profane. Does that make sense? And so what I teach people, and I give you my gospel card, if you go to don'tperish.com, and I'm like you, I don't take people's money. I got people trying to shove money in my pocket all the time. I don't want anybody's money. I don't want anybody to come follow me. What I want people to do is hear the call of the gospel, which is, let me preach the gospel to you, can I, real quick? And then you tell me if I'm biblical or not. So I go out and I preach faith in this resurrected Savior, this man who walked the earth when he was here. He was fully God when he was a man in flesh. He is fully God. He showed us how he did three main things. He did a lot of things, but he did three main things. He showed us who God was and what the kingdom was. He laid down his life to be a blood sacrifice. Hebrews 9, there's no shedding, there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And he rose again to defeat death. Death's coming for you. He's coming for me. So that's the three things he did. So the gospel cry goes out with the beginning to follow, to place your faith in this risen Savior. Most of America stops there. I go out and witness thousands of people every week. I witness 1,000 people every week. And they tell me, I believe in Jesus. And they walk away, and I'm good to go. And I go, hold on a second. Then I'll take you to the next part of the gospel. So faith in that risen Savior. The call in the New Testament. Remember this as you're ministering, and I hope maybe this will help you. The call in the New Testament for the gospel going out was never, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God wants really good things for you. If you just if you just come to Jesus, you'll have a good life. The call was always this: repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And when you repent, my wife and I, she's sitting in the van. We used to be worldly drunks. We weren't born in the Christian world. We used to be worldly drunks and fornicators and idolaters, and I used to be a fighter.
Good, you got scars.
Huh?
Good, you got scars.
Yeah, well, I know. I know this life. I always tell people, other than homosexuality, I've done everything there is to do. It's the one thing I've never done. But everything else, I've done it, okay? I know what that's about. The Bible says you must repent. When you repent, you turn from the culture. You turn from your flesh and your ways. You see the fallacy of man-made religion and their Sunday church system and their hypocrisy, the pastor with a control, and he's making money, and they're, you turn from all of that, and when God sees a willing vessel, Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. I am appalled at the level of so-called Christian Americans when I say to them, give me your testimony, and they go, well, I was born in a Baptist church, and I got baptized when I was 7, and I've been a Christian my whole life, and I let them finish, and I go, are you done? And they're like, yeah. And I go, when were you born again? And they go, what? And I go, you weren't born again at 5. You didn't even understand. You were just got out of diapers. Mm-hmm. When were you born again? And they go, and I go, you're religious, but you're not a child of God. Faith, repentance, being born again. When you got married, did your whole life change?
No.
It should have.
Okay,
I should have.
Can you imagine?
You get rid of all your other women, all the friends that take you away from your wife. You commit to your wife, right? Faith, repentance, you're born again, and it doesn't end there. Then the Bible says if you truly are a child of God, you don't live like the culture. You don't act like the culture.
Exactly.
The Bible tells us to not even talk, live, dress, entertain. We don't entertain ourselves as Christians like the culture. The Bible says to follow His word by the Spirit in holiness and obedience. This calls you out. Holy means to be set apart. When you're gone from Georgia, do you want your wife to be set apart for you, waiting for you? Do you want her to be laying with other men? How about just kissing other men? How about holding other hands with other men? How about just making kissy face? You see what I'm saying? All of this, that's physical adultery. What American Christians are involved in is spiritual adultery with God. They're idols. You come out west here, guess what's an idol out here? Hunting and fishing. It's an idol. Because they put more emphasis on it, spend more time on it, spend more money on it, more focus on it. Horses. Horses and cowboys and rodeo is an idol out here. I stand out at the rodeo fest. They hate when I stand out because I say, this is idolatry. And they walk up and go, why are you calling this idolatry? I said, this is people's life when scripture and holiness and righteousness and proclaiming the gospel is supposed to be our life. They go, our pastor says it's okay. I'm like, you're not going to be judged by your pastor on Judgment Day. You're going to be judged by the Holy Word of God. So I'm finishing. Faith, repentance, being born again, holiness and obedience. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, without holiness, set apart for God, obeying His ways, you won't see God. It's the fruit that you know Him. You don't work your way to heaven. But if you've got a saving faith and that Spirit's in you, transforming you, working in you, you will live holy and righteous. If you live worldly and carnal and you live rebellious, you're going to be put outside of the kingdom. And the last part of the gospel is you don't have it guaranteed today.
Yeah.
Your marriage needs work every day. So does mine. This week, this month, next year, you must endure. Jesus said endure in Matthew 24. Paul said endure in the faith lest you believed in vain. So that's right on my gospel card, and I teach that.
That's what I'm doing, being a vessel.
Yeah. And
it's
so
like you're being a vessel.
Yep, yep. But what I would challenge you to do, and I'll shoot you an email. I'll shoot you an email. When you see an email come through from Don't Perish, yeah. I'll shoot you an email, and I'd like to talk to you and correspond with you. What I challenge you to do is go deeper than what this culture will have you go, transform yourself, and go deeper than evangelicalism. And then before we can go out and fully minister, I love the zeal. I love the zeal. I want to encourage you in your zeal. Before we can go out, though, we have to be careful, because what we have to do is make sure that our life, our house is in order. The prophets didn't go out until they were obeying God. If they went out and they weren't obeying God, people would go, you hypocrite. You know, you do this and that. You're telling me to repent. So we have to walk in perfection in our own lives. And it takes study.
Just like you traveling, preaching, me traveling, I have that helps me walk a better life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
do you give something out? You don't have anything to give out or anything? Do you? So that's where I would challenge you. Do you call people to repentance? See, because that's the call.
Well.
And you won't be popular if you do that.
Actions of me showing love toward them, I'm not supposed to even tell you, because I don't know if my left hand or my right hand is doing, but when they see me do something for them, and they have a cross, that can do more than words possibly could ever do.
You know, I first of all, can I correct you on something? The giving. Love. Jesus said, don't let your right hand let your left hand know when it comes to giving. That's like money.
Yeah.
He said, let your good works shine before men. So when we do ministry, like you'll see, if you go on my website, you'll see street preaching videos. When I do my teaching videos, I'm not on camera.
I'm in the movie industry.
You know how. Well, that's pretty corrupt. You left it, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's corrupt. You know entertainment. You know what an actor is? Do you know what an actor is in Greek?
What?
Look up the Greek. I have articles on this.
Yeah.
When people tell me, well, I watch good movies, and I said, does God like lies? And they go, no. I said, does God like hypocrisy? They go, no. I said, have you ever looked what an actor is? Look it up in the Greek.
Yeah.
It's a liar and a hypocrite. Why? Because you're pretending to be somebody not. Hey, Jake, we want you to be a doctor. Pretend you're a doctor. You're a liar. God frowns on that. And we don't have time. This world's getting dark. Your life is fading. My life is fading. We don't have time to sit and entertain ourselves with a movie. The Bible never tells us to entertain ourselves. It tells us, redeem the time, go, preach the gospel. And Jesus said three things. He said, preach the gospel. That's calling them to repentance. If you're not calling people to repentance, I have to tell you in love, you're not doing what Jesus calls you to. He said, make disciples. Okay, that means people that follow Him. That's where I wanted to, I'm glad I remembered this. Most of American Christians, Jake, are believing in Jesus. And you got people that like what you do and they're believing in Jesus. Yeah. And that's a good start. I used to believe in Jesus. Do you know what Jesus calls us to do, though?
Yeah.
Follow Him.
Follow.
Nobody.
Leave everybody behind.
Hardly anyone wants to follow Him. You know why? Because it will cause
nobody's
you,
left farms.
It will call to strip your life down.
Exactly.
It will call you to strip down how you act, how you talk, how you dress. The Bible teaches all this. It will call you to, you'll lose most of your friends and family. You won't be popular.
Trust me.
Okay, you won't be popular. So, and then Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Yeah. Now, in order for you to do that, you've got to know what Jesus commanded. One, so you got to be studied. Two, you and your house have to be doing it, lest you
now,
be
do you
a
mainly try to
hypocrite.
Help Christians become better Christians, or do you run into a lot of unbelievers?
Oh, combination. I'll go out here and I'll preach and I'll street preach and hold gospel signs, and I'll run into atheists, a few. I'll run into some Muslims, a few. Generally in America, I run into evangelicals, Roman Catholics, and then non-church people. And yeah, I mean, I preach to everybody. I preach to people in the million-dollar motorhome to the guy in the gutter, the homeless guy that's drunk. I preach to everybody.
What I'm getting at is the unbelievers.
Yeah. I preach the gospel to them.
Yeah.
Like I just preached to you. But Christians, okay, so there's good question.
Because there's different ways to make an unbeliever believe.
Yeah, so what I would do is I would
you're
preach.
You're giving a gift.
Yeah, I would
I'm
preach.
I'm giving a gift. Everybody's given different gifts.
Yeah. I would preach to an unbeliever that they are. There's two kingdoms. There's God's kingdom and there's Satan's kingdom. Yep. And if they're not living for Christ, following him obediently, they're of Satan's kingdom. It's only two choices. Yeah. You're in or out. That's it. Yeah. It's like jail. You're either in jail or you're out of jail. There's no in between. You're in or you're out. And so when they say, well, I guess I must be in Satan's kingdom, I'm not of God, then I give them the story of Christ, how he came to make the way for us. And the only, this is important. This is important. This is important. The only time God showed love for evangelism. Hear me out. I got an article on this on my teaching blog. Look it up and test me. The only time God ever used love for evangelism is one important time when Jesus describes John 3:16. For God so loved its essence. God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. Now, if you miss that Jesus, if you miss the biblical call to faith and repentance and being born again and losing your life. Jesus said, lose your life to find me. If you miss that Jesus, there's no love of God, only his wrath. The only time God ever uses evangelism was that one time. The rest of the call in the New Testament, go test me, when Paul preached, when Peter preached, when John preached, it was always the call to repent, come to the kingdom of God. And this is where the love of God comes in. If you're a lost worldly sinner, you don't get the love of God until you come to Christ. Christ is the love. And then 1 John 5:3 says, this is the love of God. Not that I feel good in my heart. Not that I listen to emotional music. There's another deception. There's all this emotional music. I just stood outside an emotional, fleshly music fest in Grand Rapids. Not that they see a cross and it makes them feel all warm and tingly. This is the love of God, John says in 1 John 5:3. We keep his commandments. God does not want you to love him in his heart alone. In your heart alone. It starts there.
Yeah.
It's like your wife. You love your wife in your heart. It flows out of your faithfulness and caring for her. If I know you beat your wife, you don't love her.
No.
You're lying to me. Exactly. You're out with women on the road. You're a liar. Yeah. If you say you believe in God and you love God, but you don't know and study all of his commandments, there's hundreds of them in the New Testament, and you don't keep them, you're not loving God, and you'll be put outside the kingdom. Does that make sense?
It does.
So for the unbelievers, we preach. So for the unbelievers, we preach the gospel and call them to Christ. For the people that claim Jesus, generally, it's a loving rebuke that says, listen, you're claiming Jesus. He will not take a backseat to anything.
Yeah.
You cannot live your own way. You cannot adjust your worship to add Christmas and Easter and how you dress, how you act, what you want to do. You can't adjust that. You must come his way. This is a big one too. We're not in a relationship with Jesus. Please tell me Jesus isn't meeting in your cab with you, talking to you directly. He's not. He went to be with the Father. He talks through the Spirit and the Word now.
The Holy Spirit.
What we have now is a covenant. You have a covenant with your wife. A covenant's an agreement of two parties. She agreed to marry you and be faithful. You agreed to marry her and be faithful. You got an intact covenant as long as you each do your part. Jesus laid out his arms, and he said, it is finished. Right? Most people think, oh, it's all done. I got nothing to do. His work is finished.
His work, yeah.
Yours and mine
<Just started. laughs>
comes with faith and then this call to obedience. And if you get anybody, or if it's you, and says, wow, you're making salvation too complicated, go read Luke 13:24. Jesus says, strive to enter in the straight way, because many will try and they can't. If this salvation is so easy,
exactly.
Why would he? Paul says, work out your salvation, I think it's Philippians 2, with fear and trembling. Why? Because you must strive. You must follow. You must kill your flesh. You must put off friends and family. You must put off the draw of the world. You had to lose your movie career. I had to lose. I was a salesman. Salesmen are notoriously dishonest, unethical, worldly, and they're chameleons. Hey, Jake, how you doing? Oh, yeah, man, I love football. I hate football, but because I love football, because I want to sell you something. They're liars. Exactly. They're hypocrites. I had to lose that life.
Yeah.
Okay? So I would just challenge you, whatever ministry you're doing, test it to the Word of God. Test your own life, your own ways. My website will help you do that. I'm going to shoot you an email. You've been very gracious. This was God appointed. We weren't really supposed to be here. We saw him around at this time, I believe. My wife goes, look who's there. I said, I wonder who we're going to meet today. God does this all the time.
Oh, hey, man.
Look who's there. So, test yourself to go deeper. Ministry is more than this. I'm just going to tell you. I love you.
Man,
it's more than this. Yeah. And this is really playing off of that false Christian system. Because what's terrible.
See this? When I was carrying it down a trail, I was hiking about 4 miles. And this day, I said, you know what? I'm not going to say a word. Usually I do talk to them about the price and stuff. And I said, I'm not going to say a word. And I carried this thing 4 miles round trip. And I came out, and a young kid said, he came up and shook my hand, and he said, you're the only person I told this because I know you can understand it. Is every family you pass was sitting there telling their kids about Christ.
Right.
But that's not a good thing. Something's wrong. But
yeah.
He said every family we passed, and there was Muslim families, there was Orientals, there was...
Yeah.
And they all had kids.
But let me give... Can I give an answer to that, though? Can I give an answer to that?
Well,
I need to give you an answer to that, though, because, see, this props up false Christianity, like I just told you. Think about something, Jake. Do you think America's in a good state spiritually?
No.
Who's had spiritual control of America for 253 years?
Yeah.
Who has?
Satan.
No. Well, Satan controls the world.
Yeah.
The denominational systems.
Oh, well, you're talking about the church, yeah.
They're the fruit. Oh, the people you see, this homosexuality, abortion, pornography, lust, idolatry.
They're actually accepting it, too.
It's a fruit.
I went through San Antonio.
Okay, wait, though. So America, the fruit is this religious system. So when those, I'm just going to challenge that. When those people tell their kids about Jesus, I'm going to tell you in most cases, they're talking about a false Jesus. And here's what they say. Yes, son, that cross, Jesus died on the cross. He was God, and he died to take all your sins, and all you have to do is believe in him, and you go to heaven. And they go, I love that Jesus. That's a false Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus calls you to come. And just the whole act.
There, what could happen, though, is that little seed, and then they meet a man like you who can teach them even to the better.
Okay.
So the little seed that was...
God can use anything. God used pornography in my life to convict me, but doesn't mean we should use pornography for ministry. So, the act of carrying a cross.
Yeah.
I just have to say it because I love you, man. And you're being really nice. I'm all for building up and redemption. I'm not trying to tear you down.
You can't.
Okay, I know. Well, I can. I can tear you down with the Word of God if you're unbiblical, but I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that's a stunt because Jesus didn't say pick up a little cross. What he said was just pick up, and he said go preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey. And if you're not taking those steps, this is just, I believe it's, I've met a lot of guys doing this. I'm gonna leave you with this. You gotta go. I've met a lot of guys doing this. I've never met one guy yet. I've been doing this for 15 years. I've been traveling the country. I don't even meet any biblical street preachers. They're all out there, worldly, immodest, carnal, pagan holidays, and they're yelling at the whores and the sodomites. That's what they do. Rather than entreating them to come to Christ.
Exactly.
Okay. So, but what I'm gonna tell you is, I bet I've met 40 guys carrying crosses. I've never met one that's biblical in his life, preaching the gospel, living it biblically himself. It's usually about as deep as this goes. I want you to go deeper because I love you.
Yeah, and that's where
I do.
Where
I love you. I want you to go deeper. And I'm going to send you an email, and I hope we can converse.
That'd be good.
I hope we can converse because my job is to call people to this biblical Christ, and then you can challenge me in anything I teach. I got thousands of articles on my website for free. But you should, though, because if I'm teaching something wrong, see, if I'm your brother and you love me and I'm teaching something wrong and you see it's wrong, James 5.
Call it out.
Well, yeah, James 5 says you save a brother from sin, you save a soul from death. So when I see this, I want to warn you that I believe, based on my experience and based on what I know, that you got to go deeper than this. That this is superficial.
Well, what else does I was meaning about gifts? You have a gift greater than mine. My little seed can come, start, and then I get to you.
Amen.
Point.
That's my goal, is to encourage you to go deeper.
Well,
I want to tear you down. I want to encourage you to go.
Learning.
Yeah, yeah. I want you to encourage you to go deeper. And what I'm saying is, when you carry this cross, and somebody sees the cross, and they see you, and they go, oh, Jesus, I remember that. You're gonna thrill a lot of Roman Catholics with this.
Yeah.
They're pagan cult.
Oh, yeah.
If the call isn't to repent, come out, and they die tomorrow,
they're
still going to hell. This did them no good.
This did them no good. This is just a little bit of what I'm doing.
Right.
So you
got to go more. You got to go deeper. Yeah. I'm going to shoot you an email.
Yeah.
I love you, man. I love you. You've been gracious. A lot of guys, when I gently reprove them, they get angry. You know, when I preach all over the country. I preach in the streets. I go to religious buildings and stand on the public sidewalk. I don't go inside. And I go to events. Do you know who always calls the police on me? The religious people. They called
Jesus Christ.
You know, I got beat up at a Baptist church 3 months ago by the security guards on public sidewalk. Yeah.
But remember,
huh?
Wear with a badge of honor.
Huh?
Wear it with a badge.
Oh, well, I rejoiced after that. I mean, after once I healed my wounds and everything that day, yeah. I was rejoicing. But it's dark and it's ugly out there. But when I minister to the homeless guys and the beggars and in the gutter, you know what they do? They thank me. Exactly. They hug me. And they say, I know I got to repent and do better. They don't. Most of them don't repent. They love their drugs. They love their alcohol. But most of them go, you're right. They go, I'm headed to hell.
But they killed Jesus.
Yeah, they did. The religious people.
They didn't understand them.
And you're right. This religious culture, the evangelical church, they're headed towards much, much worse things. Unity with homosexuality, which I don't go out and scream, you, homosexuality is a sin, but it is a sin. And their unity with it, and they're moving further down the line in this, this corrupt country. Government system, and not preaching, proclaiming the word of God.
Listen to this. You asked me if I belong in a group. That's why I said, I went and started out this and stopped at hundreds and hundreds of churches.
Yeah.
Asking them if they could give me their reasons why I should believe in Jesus Christ. That's all I wanted from them, because that's what I was meaning being in the movie industry.
Yeah.
I run into people there, why should I believe in Jesus? Of course, I give them the gospel and how much I love them to do this. All those past, after hundreds of them meeting them, not one has given me written down.
Well, I'm not surprised. I've sat down with hundreds of pastors, and I, even the ones that admit Christmas, Easter, or pagan, I go, you know what, sir? I said, look at you women. I said, they dress like harlots. Their cleavage is showing. They're wearing yoga pants. It's like you got to look at the ground and not look at them. Yeah, and none of the men that even admit what I'm saying is true have repented. You know why? Fills the coffers. They're hirelings. They're hirelings.
Worried about their 99 sheep and not the ones out there.
And their 501c3 tax exemption and all that. That's what they're all worried about. So yeah, I'll shoot you an email, and I want to encourage you to go deeper and preach the biblical gospel to the saving of people's souls. So I'll check it out. I love you, man. God be praised. Check out my website, sir. Check out that gospel on my website. Make sure you're born of the gospel and following Christ. Let me know if I can ever help you.